catch up on Kennedy Malloy anywhere. Almost as easy as finding your perfect match to your form preferences this spring carnival with Ned's Filter Form. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia and welcome to the Big Friday edition. That's right, a bloody Friday. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's get ready to rumble. The weekend's upon us. We love a Friday show and this one's going to be a cracker. We will lead off, of course, with former Australian cricket captain Alan Border talking about the sad passing of a cricketing icon and Victorian great Dean Jones. Sad news overnight. We'll hear Alan's thoughts and recollections as well as many others.
A real shock to everybody.
And it's a real shock and a great loss to the game. He's a pretty confident fellow in most regards. I'll tell you about the first time I met Dean Jones. What else?
Hello.
Clown of the Week, as per usual.
Yes, Dave, how are you going?
Give us one.
Well, I'm going to give you one. What about The Bachelor?
Yes.
For telling two contestants that he loves them.
Is that not good?
And only picking one.
Oh, you've got to follow through on that.
You can't be doing that. Apparently it's the way he said it.
One in, all in, and I'll let you know now, you're in it and you're in it. Out. You're both in it.
Well, you're in it too,
beg your pardon.
Oh, you're definitely in it, yes.
I've done anything in that department.
Sorry, stand by Alex Perry.
That's right.
Yeah, we might have Jim Whaley racked up. Hey, we've got some music news, which includes you.
Yeah,
you've got
we'll get to that. That's very, very
controversial.
It's not controversial. Well, it's exciting. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Lunch.
Yeah. No,
it's the only way I can describe it.
Why can't I be a music person too on this show?
Yeah, but you know, find your own talent. That's all I'm saying.
Your lane.
Yeah, really,
share it around.
This is news to Dave. All right, we'll get to the bottom of that.
And we've got Nath Velvo coming in to have a chat. We love it because Nath's young and he's got an
millennial. Is he a millennial or a Z? Is he?
I don't know. He might be in between. I'm sure he's having a more exciting time in lockdown than we are.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of that. We'll have the weekend review, of course. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through. I mentioned Dean Jones. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Dean Jones. It's really sad news overnight. We were actually, just before we went to air last night, the news came through and it was really, everyone was really stunned.
Rattled.
And shocked.
Yeah, of course.
You just don't expect that to occur. It came out of nowhere.
He was just working.
59. He's in good condition. You know, he's on the golf course. He's playing cricket. Yeah. He's travelling the world. He was anyway. There it is. It's
and in India. And also, I acknowledge too today. Like you put tweets out, and I would send condolences as well to Jane and his girls, but also to Brett Lee. I mean, that's insane that he was there in the pressure for
in
him
the
to,
room, trying his
my
best
God.
To bring his mate back
and
to life.
Then goes on a broadcast as well after.
Afterwards.
Unbelievable.
And well done to you, Brett, and we feel for you as well, mate. That's
so we'll speak to Alan Border in just a moment. Can I tell you, the first time I ever met Dean Jones was at Triple M. So it was back in the old DGen breakfast days, and he came in as a guest.
Yes, I remember
that. He's a reasonably confident fellow.
Bit of swagger.
I think that was a hallmark of his batting style and the way he approached cricket and it was the way he approached life. So he came in and he sat down. I think there was me, Tommy G and maybe Santa or someone else was sitting there. He sat down and we were in an ad break. And some doors are popping open and people are saying this and that and what you got to do. And just before we went to air, he piped up. He goes, Tommy, don't forget you got to back announce the jewellery store ad. And Mick, you have to bring in these two calls and they have to come in before the break.
Isn't that amazing?
He sat there and listened to the conversation and all of a sudden was taking charge.
amazing.
And for a brief moment was producing a breakfast show.
That's unbelievable.
Captain's rules.
Yeah.
So, can I just say the last private message I got from him, and it was when I had a fall, you know, when I fell down and hit my head.
The ladder, yeah.
And he was one of the first people to say, I just heard of your mishap. I hope you're okay. And he's, you know, we go back and forth, and he said, by the way, out of interest, what was the name of the night camera that you were trying to set up? He goes, I'm so interested in that. So we went back and forth, and I sent him a picture of what the camera was. But, yeah.
Wow. All right, yes, a larger-than-life character.
Yeah.
On the field and off the field and involved in a couple of incidences that'll go into Australian cricket folklore. So we'll get to Alan Border in just a moment. We mentioned once this. Do you want to apologise to anyone in this room?
I'm not apologising for my love of music, my appreciation of... I'm not apologising to
I'm
Dave.
I'm an independent observer here, but I think what you've done is terrible to a friend.
Why? Because I'm interviewing John Bon Jovi.
Wow.
Jane.
Who do you think he would prefer to be interviewed by?
I know who he'd prefer.
Are you going to sit on the end of his bed like Dave did?
In Nashville?
I'm not. I'm going COVID. I'm going to do it by Zoom, and I've got a whole bunch of questions. And
but that's Dave's thing.
It's my thing.
How many times
it's my
have
thing.
You, how many times
three times.
You, three
I've
times.
Well, you've hogged him.
So it's come
my turn.
Up. There's a interview available, and I would have
You've
thought naturally that just goes straight into Dave's
Thank
inbox.
Thank you. G'day, John.
It's just a
and
different perspective.
We'll get
all right,
the old team back together.
Well, I've met him before.
Just crowbarred her way into the action.
Like we go way back, me and John.
Do
so
you?
It'll be like old mates catching up.
You're going to talk about wine.
Me and the Silver Fox. He's looking good. Tell you what, he's running a lot.
You might want to bring some capsicum spray. I'll tell you right now.
All right, stand by because we're going to talk with the great Alan Border.
Yep.
About Dean Jones.
Yeah.
Valet
Here's our song,
Dean,
people. Yeah. It's Friday. Let the cure take care of business.
You got it. Alan Border next.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Dean Jones. Tremendous ovations on his way to the centre of the MCG.
What's it like to be a Victorian to play cricket at the MCG?
Well, it's awesome. You know, you've got 70, 80,000 people just wanting you to do well. I struggle with it, I'll be honest with you. Your adrenaline's running so much higher. Your heartbeat's over 130 beats and you've got to try and get your heart rate down and then you've got to face the next ball. It's a big hit.
Back 20 rows by Dean Jones. A smashed away spur of the wicket on the leg side.
Gone again. It's a big hit. It's in the air for a long time. Over she goes. The crowd's gone wild at mid-wicket. They're having a feast today.
Two runs to Jones. He's 101.
Up goes the bat. Off goes the helmet because Dean Jones has 50.
You're very, very proud of the 48 you made in your very first test match in Port of Spain, Trinidad. 48.
Yeah, that's my best ever knock. On a green pitch, Marshall, Garner, Robertson, Holding and co. It was dangerous batting with the great Alan Border. Nothing that I've ever seen in my backyard or anywhere else since, and they literally wanted to kill you. And it was very hard work. And I've never seen the ferocity of pace. People don't understand it's a quarter of a second reaction time when you face those guys bowling, you know, when they're on heat. Alan Border's the best I've ever seen AB bat. He got 500 runs that series. Amazing.
Oh, he smashed that one. That'll end up in Coco's. It's got miles. It's a big six. Huge six there from Dean Jones. He's decided to let loose.
Alan Border joins us now. Alan, you were up the other end for his 48 on debut. Was it as good as he recollects?
Oh, well, you know, on debut in those circumstances, it was pretty special. He was that nervous. He's like he'd had 100 cups of coffee before he went out to bat. He was sort of jumping around and he was squeezing the bat handle that tight. I thought the glue was going to come out the other end. So, yeah, he was nervous. And I suppose my role, he comes in and we're 5 for 50 or something. So it's not a great situation. Yes. Just trying to calm him down. That was that was my job at the time. But, he was... Yeah, on debut, it doesn't get much tougher than those conditions.
Yes.
Did you talk to him to calm him down? What did you do to do that?
Well, you're sort of trying to sort of play the father figure, just settle down, mate. And he's going, no worries, mate. Jesus, they're bowling a bit quick, aren't they? What's going on? And he just came on the hot tin roof. It was quite funny. But he batted so well, then got out to someone like, I think it was Larry Gomes or Viv Richards.
Right.
You know, you think, you get through all those.
You do all the heavy lifting.
Miles, you get out to the donkey drop.
Can I ask, did you have an idea at that stage of his awesome talent? When even on debut, you go, he's going to play a lot of cricket for Australia?
I'd seen him a couple of times in Shield cricket, and he sort of was starting to play well in that form. And, didn't know a lot about him, to be honest. But, after that day, generally new respect, saying, well, this guy's got something going for him. You know, you get through that, you can survive just about anything.
Well, he went on to become one of the best one-day cricketers of all time for Australia. There's no denying his prowess in that style of the game. He was under you in the 1987 World Cup, that breakthrough one-day series. What are your memories of him in that tournament?
Well, we'd sort of started to sort of get some tactics involved in our one-day cricket. We hadn't really talked about you know, specific targets or certain things, and you know, the top three were very important in one-day cricket, as you know. If his top three score some runs, you know, you're going to get some good totals. So basically him batting at number three, I mean, he sort of just grabbed that spot and made it his own, particularly through that tournament. One of the reasons we won, you know, we just scored so many runs at the top of the order through Jones, Booney and Marsh, you know, the really great threesome to have there.
He'll be best remembered, I think, in the Test arena for the famous Tide Test in Chennai, where he made a double hundred, which is still people talk about that as one of the greatest things ever achieved physically from a man. I put it to you, he wouldn't be allowed to do that today. Under today's conditions, and with people so worried about heat and stroke, he would have probably been allowed to retake the field. He was that gone.
Yeah, look, he was in bad way, and I suppose at the time I didn't know a lot about dehydration.
No one did, mate.
and I was batting with him at the time, and look, he could have been 170 retired hurt, but through my intervention, he made 210, and we nearly lost him then. But look, I basically just went down. He was batting so well, and I was just trying to think of a way to keep him out there because he'd come up to me and said, "Oh, mate, I'm just gone. I've got to go." You know, he was so distressed, and I was thinking, "Well, how am I going to keep him out here?" I wasn't worried about dehydration. I was trying to keep him out there. He was batting so well, and I knew I could push his buttons. Greg Ritchie was in next year, and I said, "Well, you're all right, mate. You can go off. We'll get someone tough out here. Get a Queenslander." And can't tell you what he told me to do.
Well, he was a proud Victorian, wasn't he? He was a proud Victorian, and we know that he was with Brett Lee and they were doing the select dugout in Mumbai, having a lot of fun, those guys together, and having a great show. I was just talking before how much I feel for Brett and the position that he was in, and we're thinking of him as well today.
Oh, incredible, like heroic stuff from Brett, because
totally
to dive in, you know, for a stranger is one thing, but you know, like your best mates.
Nice.
What does this mean to the cricket community? What will you do? I mean, it's always a sad pass. I remember how shocked we were when David Hooks was taken tragically.
Yeah.
And this people you've grown up with. I mean, I think I speak for every boy, especially Victorians, who wanted to go up and be Dean Jones at one stage in their lives. Anyone who played cricket, we feel like we know these guys, and when they're gone, it's so quickly.
It's a shock.
What will happen? Will you guys get together? Is there something we can do?
We will, but you know, given that you know the virus is sort of affecting their lives, it's going to be hard. Look, I don't think it'd be any trouble getting him back to Australia, but what happens from there and how we sort of send him off in style, that'll be the million-dollar question.
Mm. Look, you know what? I can hear that you're emotional, AB, and I understand why. It's making me really emotional too at the moment, and I just think the outpouring I've not seen in such a long time was such a shock to people because he was so confident and cocky, if you will, you know, it just feels, and I read out a message that, you know, I didn't know him well, but he's just so engaging. And I just think we send such, from our team here at Triple M, we send our condolences to Janie's wife and girls and to all you blokes who are his mates.
It's good to hear. You know, look, as long as we send him off in style, he's, you know.
You will.
Great Victorian, great Australian. And a good mate.
He is a good mate. We can hear it in your voice. Can we play a little bit? He did an interview on this network, which we'll be replaying later tonight.
That's right.
On the Howie Games. We're just going to play. It gives you a little sense of the man himself and the way he engaged life.
Like my daughters, when they were young kids, when we drive past the G, they say, "Oh, there's Daddy's office." I just put in the Southern Standard. It cost $465 million to actually fix it up. Girls, I've played on the ground more times than Kevin Bartlett, more times than any other athlete. But it's been a major roller coaster ride to actually represent your country and be number one in the world with one-day cricket for 4 years.
There it is. Just a little snapshot. That interview goes for some time. It'll be great. Good on you.
We thank you very much too. We know that this is really hard.
Yeah, I was a mess last night. But
oh, mate.
Hopefully a bit better today.
No, you did, and it's we feel it's important to talk about him, and everybody wants to hear, particularly from someone like you, and we know it's really hard, so we appreciate your time this afternoon, AB.
Not a problem.
Love it. Alan Border joining us. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
There are many contenders.
A friend defecated in their bed.
The freaking weird accident.
I've done all of Brighton.
David Williams in the chair for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
Probably Pocahontas.
Who will be...
It's Mark Villapuzzi!
Clown of the week.
Here we go, people. It's chock-a-block, 133353. If you want to be part of the action, give us a bell.
Jump in.
I'll kick off.
Who
Our
do you
mate,
want to clown?
Eddie Maguire.
Whoa, what do you want to clown Ed for, Mick?
But taking one for the team, for taking a bullet and going to the Pink Flamingo late at night to do some reconnaissance for his work as a Visit Victoria ambassador. Have we got him? This is him on our very own network, Triple M Exploding. So I love this video.
So what I did on Saturday night, we pre-booked
this is like a reconnaissance mission, was it?
It was, yeah, pretty much. So pre-booked the dinner. We were invited then to the
Pink
manager.
Flamingo
fantastic.
Big
mate, you're a bit obsessed on that.
I'm keen to find out.
Sound like a Herald Sun guy. And they said, look, well, the best place we can show you is this place called the Pink Flamingo. And they had people in queues. They had them socially distanced. They had booths and tables set up so that the maitre d' would take you and you'd sit down. They put on entertainment. I'm sick of people worrying about optics and carry on. Go and have a look at it in intelligent fashion. Come back with reconnaissance. Sit down and see if we can open up the economy in Victoria rather than everybody wetting their pants every 5 minutes and having Jeff running around telling how to live your life.
What were the optics and the entertainment of that club, Mick? The Pink Flamingo, what do they...
From where I was sitting, the optics looked pretty good. It was like pretty almost naked women, wasn't it, on stage?
I beg your pardon, it's burlesque. It's a bit like Cirque du Soleil on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Stripping for ugly chicks.
Oh, come on.
Now.
Who said that?
No.
Who said that?
Anyway, Eddie was standing by, and he was allowed to be there. It's totally legal for him to be there. Yeah. He's currently a Queensland citizen because he's filming Hot Seat.
What was he doing for Visit Victoria?
Well, he is checking out how they run these clubs.
Head of margaritas.
Anyway, he took Joe out for a beer as well, so that's what we want.
Yeah.
You know, to see a dad and his son going out. That's all right.
Done it again.
Okay. I'm going to clown. Oh, I'm not going to clown her.
Who?
Bindi Irwin.
I'll do it. You don't like it. You're too squeamish. Bindi Irwin. Here's a crack.
I love Bindi. I'm not going to clown her, but you are.
She compared her child to an unborn animal. Give it a
but
run.
A weird one.
Yeah. Take a look.
Have you got it? Yep.
The pair spilling the news over social media saying our beautiful daughter is now about the same size as a hatchling tortoise. Plenty of fans quick to suggest names for the soon-to-be parents. Stevie coming in as a hot favourite.
I can't wait till her daughter's the same size as a two-year-old dugong. Because she'll be doing this forever, won't she? She'll be always comparing it to the size.
Well, every stage it's going to be happening, of course, so that's fine. Well, talking about babies... I'm going to clown Aussie Richie Porter for his podium finish at the Tour de France. Now, congratulations, that was really good.
Yeah, massive.
Well, his third place came at a little bit of an expense. Let's just say he might have missed the birth of his daughter.
Okay.
Let's have a listen.
It's going to be a bit of a reality check that, you know, in 24 hours from now I'll be on nappy duty.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, you're at a nice safe distance.
You
right
could have
now,
at least
Richie
won.
Yeah, that's right.
And from some of the races I've seen, some of those riders need a bit of nappy duty. Have you seen them just let fly on the way?
Really?
The
guys, do they?
In the
Tour de France,
even. In the Tour de France, especially the Tour de France.
Oh.
Remember the guy crouching roadside as the peloton swings past?
What, your number twos?
Number twos, mate.
Oh yeah. That's what happens when they get so.
You know, if you see a wafting motion in the peloton,
that's right.
You know, all someone's right. laying cable.
I am going to clown the bachelor Lockie McLockie, whatever his name is.
Yeah, sure.
Because not only did he tell two women that he loved them and then picked one, which is a very, very snaky thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually. Well, I'm not going to. Sorry, I'm not clowning him. I'm clowning. Yeah, I will clown him. Sorry, I'm all over the place, but because I'm laughing about what's going to happen
air,
next.
Jane?
Yeah,
you're on
I know.
Air.
Clown I know.
What do you want to do?
I want to clown Izzy's mum, Christina, when he went to one of the home visits. one of the mothers was chatting to him about him being a potential son-in-law and having babies, and this is what she said.
This is probably a little tiny bit out there, but I've always said to Isabella, like, if she doesn't really find a man and she feels like a baby, is there any chance, as a consolation prize, just a little bit of sperm to, you know...
What?
We can't. I mean, if we can get a little lucky out there,
yeah,
I'll freeze it for you.
What?
Is that a bit forward?
I think so.
I think what? Why they should that should not have even gone to air, in my opinion.
Well, as you can say the thing for the whole show, but he's
okay.
Gone.
So sorry, that's what I wanted to do. I clowned him for saying I love you, but I clowned the contestant's mum, Christina, for being so appalling. That's an appalling suggestion. Terrible.
Look, my daughter's a bit of a loser. Can we just have your sperm?
Please, God. Hey. What's going on in
Sean's
this world?
Sean's on the line. Sean, who do you want to clown, mate?
The Brisbane Broncos supporters, mate.
What have they done, Sean?
Oh, they're upset that their team got the wooden spoon. They've gone up to their training centre and thrown wooden spoons on their training field.
Oh. Well, this is a bit of a first for the Broncos, isn't it? No, they're not used to this. So.
They've taken it well, haven't they? They really have. Yeah. Hey,
doesn't matter. You stick by your team.
All right, mate. We get it. We get it. Who do you support, Sean?
I support Manly, mate.
Oh, okay. For you being their shoes, you go into the Broncos fans' shoes for a minute and you might be getting out your wooden spoon.
That's all right. We've never had a wooden spoon.
Oh, humble brag.
Well, I can't wait to go and chuck one at Manly Warringah training.
Hey, give us a call, 133353, if you've got anyone else you want to clown.
Yeah, absolutely. What about a case of Brick Lane for
Sean
in Brisbane?
All right, well
That's
done.
That's the draft. You're going to love that, mate, for your weekend on its way. Grab that from Dan Murphy's as well. You got it. All right, up next, more of your calls, 133353, Clown of the Week.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Clown of the Week here. We've got Nath Valbo to join us in the second hour. We've got some music news coming up as well. Week in review and a whole lot more.
Sad passing of Max Merritt will be discussed big figure. In the meantime, though, we're doing Clown of the Week, and I'd like to get things well if I can by mentioning, we're going to the great state of WA to clown the Jim's Mowing franchisee who chased a man with his whippersnipper going, hey, run, fat boy, run.
I want to see that image. I wish there was vision of that.
Well, that should be the ad for Jim's Mowing.
It is.
Run, fat boy, run.
I'm going to get a T-shirt made up.
Chased the whippersnipper, and I have to say, Jim has come out and defended him. Oh, even the best people can make mistakes. He's chasing a man with a whippersnipper, Jim.
He loves his franchisees, old Jim. Good for him. Sticking up for them.
He's a strong leader.
Yeah, good on you, Jim.
What do you got?
I want to clown a four-year-old boy, actually.
There we go.
Yeah, I want to clown Melbourne boy Alessio Caruso for getting stuck in a chupa-chup tin. Let's have a listen to his mum, who didn't know who to call to help him out.
A four-year-old boy became stuck in a chupa-chups tin. His desperate mum called 000 and firefighters, police and paramedics were dispatched. Little Alessio was safely rescued using belts to free him from the tin.
What an idiot.
He'll
fail kinder.
He has had a good run this week. I'd like to clown Dangerous Dave.
How dare you? Well, what have I done this
time?
I've
just seen a side of you I've never seen before.
Which is
your homoerotic side.
It's a bit creepy.
You pretty much hit on Dr. Chris Brown.
I did not.
You did.
I mentioned
that's your business. Choose your way you want to.
No, I'm just saying you look pretty good in that Instagram photo with him and the penguins.
Wow, that's going too far.
Here's how it went down on the show.
Dr. Chris Brown with his shirt off, Jane.
I beg your pardon?
I think he was posing with an animal or something. Rather.
Why did he have his shirt off?
I don't know. He just had the shirt off.
I will ask him.
Was it homoerotic?
I'm saying as a straight man, I thought, you know, he's got a good rig. He does.
Would you sleep with him if you were gay?
What are you talking about?
it's a hypothetical question.
It's a fair question.
I'm going to move on from that.
Who would you sleep with if you were gay?
I don't know.
Again, I'm moving on, and lucky I don't know if there's kids in the car. I'm going to claim Mick Malloy.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, because you killed off fashion designer Alex Perry on Tuesday.
Right. Let's start your antics. This may not turn into another community.
Hang on. You just have a listen to this.
90210.
Oh, yeah. I had a reunion recently. Did you watch the show? It was the reunion.
Which was ruined by Alex Perry's death.
Luke Perry.
Oh,
the sunglasses.
Once again, I'm first with the news. Luke Perry.
Sorry to Alex Perry. We know you're still
Remember when he killed designing off Olivia's former husband?
Oh, you lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that he has.
Oh, sorry, pardon me. I may have gone. Am I all the two? No, he's very unwell.
He's very
ill. Sorry, pardon me.
No, he was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
Right, well, sincere Mick is just weird.
It's not good, is it? Well, how's your relationship with the Whaley family? Yes, Dave. Yes, two complaints.
Of course he doesn't have it. Conveniently he doesn't have that.
You got it? There you go.
All right. Hey, we've got... So he's not being extradited, is that correct? Or he's just going to stay?
Oh, Jane, I don't know. What am I?
Sorry to use a big word
what
for you, mate.
Jim Whaley?
Come on.
Jim Whaley, rest in peace.
Oh, sorry. Jim probably would have had that news. Really?
Yes.
He's been dead for years.
Jim Whaley is alive and well.
And how do you know this, Dom?
I worked on his house on Monday.
I'm sorry to the Whaley family.
I'm so embarrassed hearing that.
We have terrible form in this show, really? Honestly.
Oh, we got some calls?
Yeah, we have. We're going to go to Rob from South Australia. G'day, Rob. How are you going?
Excellent, Jane. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Mickey. Now, I'm a fan of this person. Mick's not a big fan. But
know,
tell me,
why I rang.
Who do you want to clown?
Roger Federer.
No, I'm
trying
listening.
To sing a Beatles song.
Okay, what? Now we have to set this up. You've seen, it's a new ad, is it, or a campaign or something?
Yeah, new ad that he's got millions for. Like he needs it.
He needs
okay.
it.
Yeah. Now,
have you got it, Dave?
Yeah. Oh, apparently we do have it. So, everybody, here is Roger Federer and his new television commercial.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
Do you need anybody?
I need somebody to love.
Yeah. I'm gonna travel to hell from my friends.
Yes, I get by with a little help from my friends.
No. Oh, wow. What's the product, for God's sake? Do you know what the product's for, Rob?
Hey, Mickey.
It's a Swiss telecommunications provider in Zurich.
He's got to be paid $1 billion to do that.
Communicating, can't wait. He can at least play it along on the piano because he plays the piano in another one of his ads, doesn't he?
I could only think of tennis and nothing else when I first started. Once I began taking time for myself, that's when I truly started winning. My time often.
He's taking the piss, surely. He's ridiculous.
He's an idiot. Thank God he can swing a racket. Tezza's on the line. Tezza.
Hey, Tezza.
Hello, guys. I would have clowned those whales that went down the croc-infested river.
Case of Britland coming your way. It's the draft you're going to love available at Dan Murphy.
Oh, those poor damn whales. No. Whales aren't having a good time in Australia at the moment.
Listen,
why? They're
me.
Beaching themselves. Yeah. They're going
clowns
in a croc-infested river.
They are idiots. So if they're not running up on beaches, they're going up croc-infested rivers, you get what you deserve. Good luck. If you could bet on that, I'm back in the crocs. It'd be good to see, wouldn't it? Be very good.
Tezza, you love your whales, don't you, Tezza?
Yeah, they're all right, but it'd be like Karen from Brighton taking the wrong turn and taking the Mercedes through Frankston.
Good on you, Tezza.
I'm sick of whales. They are attention-seeking. Mm-hmm. They are, look at me. Oh, not enough attention. I'm going to go beach myself. See, look at us now. Now we're on the beach. Can you punch
Not all of us at Kennedy Malloy share these views.
You punch a shark. Why can't you punch
that
a
is your view and your view alone.
Yeah. Email me.
Stupid.
I will not stand for you bashing the whales.
One harpoon.
Come on.
Go and have your whales sashimi.
I think we're done here. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Got a song whisperer coming up for you soon. And Nath Valvo, we love him. He's a funny man. He's going to join us not too far away on Kennedy Malloy.
Cannot wait.
Mm.
Now, it has been 20 years. We were talking to Cathy Freeman the other week. Yeah. 20
How
years.
Good was that?
Yeah, and that was great. It's the 20-year anniversary of the Olympics in Sydney, but we were talking to Catherine about her run. And last night, I think it was the 20th anniversary of her actually running the race, which is incredible. She doesn't often tweet and she doesn't do a lot. She's pretty low key, in fact, very low key, but she does head the Cathy Freeman Foundation. Mick, you've had quite a bit to do with this foundation, no board members, et cetera.
Oh, I'm an ambassador.
You're an ambassador,
I think I was one of the first blokes on. Do you know the first thing I did with the Cathy Freeman Foundation. I ran into her and I ran into their esteemed chairman, Andrew Cannon.
Yes.
And who convinced me to get on board. And the first thing he did was hook me up for $500. And I gave him $500. And for $500, we would buy a bike. So kids, and what we're about to see is this endeavour is about Stride for Education. Education's a real key. With Aboriginal
100%.
Children, and it's a real pathway out.
And we've been privileged, Mick, to see firsthand what the type of things that kids need, Indigenous kids in particular, who need these things.
We bought a bike, $500. We bought a bike, and it's all you had to do. And the kids only get the bikes if they ride them to school. So you can have the bike, but you have to ride it to and from school. And it was just a fantastic way of engaging these kids in a way to get them to do something positive. Yeah. That's what Cathy's all about. This endeavour is all about, it's called Strive for Education. It's a 115K virtual challenge. And you just need to register. You just need to go to, what's your website?
We're going
to
give all the information. It's www.cathyfreemanfoundation.org.au. We'll have all this info on our websites as well. Registration's open tomorrow. And it's for people of all abilities. You can run, you can walk, you can roll. Hello. You can be in a wheelchair, you can be in a pram. You can just, you know, take your time.
It's a great initiative.
And it is a great initiative. It's 115Ks, but you can virtually do it. And you can do it over time, which is great.
Do it. It's great. It's for a great cause.
So please visit that and support it. We believe in it very strongly, as we believe in the wonderful Cathy Freeman.
Yep.
Check out on iView her documentary as well when you're at it. It's amazing.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, a shout out to Triple M Mackay. Jay and Dave for breakfast have just celebrated their 2,000th, 100th show today.
Oh,
so I thought I'd
well done.
Give
we
a
love
shout
saying
out.
Hello
there
to them.
There you go. Good stuff, Mackay. I've performed in Mackay.
Have you?
Yes, done stand up. It's
Have you been in the prison in Mackay?
Is that where there's
that's where they had the copper named Mick Malloy.
Oh, that's right. You've been in the lockup.
So I kind of have.
I like going around the country and going to all the lockups that you've been to. Most people go to motels, so you go to the lockups.
That's interesting. So I'll do a National Geographic
you
series.
You could do it too.
Jails around Australia.
Hey, that's a Netflix series I'd watch.
I'd watch it too.
I can't wait. Time. Is it?
Yeah.
Jay, the song whisperer.
What do you reckon? Mm. What do we got? Jay?
All right. Now, there is a deeper meaning to this song, as with most of this band's songs. However, we're going to keep it surface level instead of going deep. This is about a holiday that often serves as a personal reset. You know, time to exercise more, drink less, save more, spend less, be better, write that novel, take that trip, blah, blah, blah. In the end, though, it's just another day, and you're probably not going to do any of that stuff.
Mm.
Feels good.
The blah, blah, blah's a bit. Well, let me think, blah, blah, blah. Is it Madonna Holiday?
Oh, Jane.
I hope not.
When am I ever going to sing that song again? Bloody hell, never.
Was that her first hit?
Not Madonna.
Would have been close, I reckon.
Yes, I think it would have been close.
She came out and did Countdown, and she sung that song in Countdown, and I think it was like one of the first times she'd ever...
Yeah, I think it was. You're right.
Anyway, I think Molly Meldrum had a bit to do early on.
Oh, Molly always has. He's amazing.
He is indeed.
ABBA? He was behind ABBA. Their success.
What about Summer Holiday?
What?
Cliff Richard?
It's the way I'm going.
So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true.
I'm tipping a no.
Man, I wish it was, but it's not.
Hey, Mickey, you're right. The first entry on the US Billboard Hot 100 was Holiday 1983 by Madonna.
Do I win anything?
No.
I have a slab of Brick Lane.
You can date her, though. That's your prize.
What about Dreadlock Holiday?
Like
10cc.
Oh, no.
I love it.
Is this cultural appreciation?
Why? 10cc, that's not cultural appreciation. It's a pretty white band, isn't it?
But that's what I mean. It's a white band doing... Reggae.
Oh, I missed your point. Pardon me.
I didn't quite understand my own point.
It's not correct.
You're not the Lone Rangers. No, all right. Well, I tell you what, 133353, we're stumped. Have a go yourself. Come on.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yourself in, people.
Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And coming up in this hour, we've got the Week in Review. I cannot wait to get involved.
We've also got some music news. Someone that wants to speak with me is John Bon Jovi. So I have an exclusive interview coming up next week, and I'll just tell you about it.
Okay. Well, we might or may not get to that today.
Oh,
we'll see how we're going. We will, though, get to Nath Valvo, who is a fantastic fella.
Yes.
We can't wait to get to hear what he's on about. And we're going to play a little clip from our interview with Alan Border.
Okay, yes, that was pretty moving, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was indeed. But let's start at the top of the song, Whisperer. And I'll tell you what, let's jam a little bit of music news in here right now. Who are you interviewing next week?
John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi. Whoa. You've cut Dave's lunch.
Thank you.
You are a mercenary woman. You don't really... You think you
I
know,
think it's
we
only
think
fair.
We know you, and then all of a sudden you take Dave out and work him.
He's my thing.
As we know, he wants to talk
times,
to me.
Jane.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give someone else a go, why don't you?
Ruthless. Are you going to talk about your wines?
I might. I think I will.
Will you talk about your rosé?
I think I will. I think I'll have a glass and share it with
him. If I was going to interview John Bon Jovi, I'd say you should write a song about it, like a bed of rosé.
Yeah, but he would think that was really cliched and embarrassing, so lucky it's going to be me.
That's right.
And also, with Dave's sad passing in the music world today.
Yeah, Max Merritt, who is an ARIA Hall of Famer, he had a big, big song in the mid-70s called Slippin' Away.
Great song.
Died in Los Angeles.
Jane doesn't like it. Jane, what did you say?
I beg your pardon.
You just said it wasn't your favourite.
I can't. I'm not even looking at you right now.
But he was diagnosed with good pastor syndrome, which is a rare, serious autoimmune disease.
Oh,
and
really, Dave? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good 79. On you, Max Merritt. Valet. Mm. All right, let's get on to it. Song Whisperer. Clue, please.
Yes. There is a deeper meaning to this song, as with most of this band's songs. However, we're going to keep it surface level instead of going deep. This is about a holiday that often serves as a personal reset. Mm. You know, time to exercise more, drink less, save more, spend less, be better, write that novel, take that trip, blah, blah, blah. In the end, though, it's just another day, and you're probably not going to do any of that stuff.
Let's get straight into it. Daniel, what do you think it is?
Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Great song. It makes me think of doing nothing.
It sounds like where you're supposed to be. You know what I
that's
mean?
Right.
It sounds like that's a song you want to hear on
it
a
sounds
Pacific
boozy.
Island.
It sounds like you've got a cocktail in hand, you're on the hot sand with the sunglasses on, you're getting over a hangover.
Drinking a Kokomo.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Eddie McGuire's probably going there for a visit.
Not the Beach Boys.
Visit Melbourne. We can't make sure it goes okay.
Hey, Daniel, no, sorry. No, it's no go. Right. Sorry about that. Let's go to Ben quickly. Hello, Ben. How are you going?
Good, guys. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just seeing your suggestion here, and I like it. I feel confident about this. What is it?
Yeah, it's Echo Beach by Martha and the Muffins.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Another good song. What do you wonder?
Yes.
Yep.
Go ahead, Ben. What do you want to add?
I got a carton of Brick Lane draft from you guys, and I just wanted to say it was an excellent drop. I shared it amongst some friends. And I think it's available from your local fine purveyor.
Well done.
Is this Ben, the new spokesperson for Brick Lane, Mick?
Have you tried the draft, Ben?
Oh, that's what I tried, mate. Knock me about a bit because I'm normally a Carlton mid.
Mickey's a full strength guy.
Send him another one, Dave.
What? Oh, you got another case of Brick Lane coming your way there, Ben. The draft.
Love your work, Ben.
Coming out, mate.
Next podcast. don't bring it up, mate. It's
Ben.
Sore point.
You're a number one listener.
I was going to say, I hope Ben enjoyed that slab because he's not getting another one because he's wrong.
But, oh, sorry, we didn't even get to the song whisperer.
He does get one.
Sorry. I'm going, what's the song whisperer piping in here for?
You'd think it was his segment. all right, we've got to keep moving.
Sorry, song whisperer.
Adam.
Hello.
No problem.
Adam, quickly.
Howdy. Is it Holiday by Green Day?
Could be. Sounds like something we play.
Their holiday
not
sounds
correct.
Uptight.
Not correct.
Not correct.
All right. Annette.
Sorry about that. Hello, Annette.
What are you thinking?
Me?
Yeah,
yes,
go
Annette.
Ahead.
Are you on under a false name? Are you on this protection scheme or something, Annette?
I didn't quite hear you.
What's your guess?
I think it's New Year's Day by U2.
Oh, that makes
Hang on a minute. Song with her?
Yes, a holiday that serves as a personal reset. You bet. That's correct.
Yes, and you make all these great plans and you never do any of them.
Well done, Annette.
Well done, Annette.
Thank you.
Let's send some beer her way, too.
You're going to get a slab of Brick Lane Draft.
Brick Lane, it's on its way to you, Annette. It's available at Dan Murphy's First Choice.
Give me something else. I don't think she
drinks beer. We've got a prize pack. We've got some merch. We've got some Kennedy Molloy branded merch in the post for you as well. Thank you. Nate Valbo up next.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
Nate Valbo joins us on the show right now.
G'day, Nate. How are you?
Well, I'm very good to speak to both of you. I miss you.
No, you're very kind. Aww. We miss you too. You're our favourite. Are you a millennial or are you a Gen Z?
We're trying to work out where you fit
in the oeuvre.
I don't know. I get very confused. I was born in 83. What does that mean?
My God.
Well, that was the year before I graduated from school. You defy categorization. You run your own race. You are a giant among men and you cannot be put into someone's box.
Nath, how are you going?
You can't put Nath in the corner.
You can't. Are you in lockdown at the moment still?
Yes, I am. Every time I speak to you, I have an update of how and what I'm doing to kill the time.
We love your updates.
What are you doing?
What are you up to?
We've done dog tricks. We've done drunk online purchases. We've joined a street WhatsApp group. This week I've decided to become a home chef.
And what's your signature dish?
Well, I haven't figured that out yet. But I feel that this is happening to a lot of people, especially in Melbourne, that we've begun cooking.
Yes.
Woolies, going down to the supermarket becomes your adventure for the day.
That's right.
So you want to spend as long there as possible, like keep looking at your little to-do list, walking around.
Hey, Nath, how do you go around the fruit and veg section with, the new sort of can be the new Tinder because of lockdown?
Well, I've got a man, so I can't.
so you don't want to go out and be too flirty around the fruit and veg.
I can't be going out there hanging out near the bananas.
But hang on, when you come home, we'll go, where the hell have you been?
Correct.
But the supermarket, how long do you need to be down at that supermarket?
I swear it's a banana in my pocket.
hey, tell me, Nath, though, surely you've been able to cook some things. Tell us what you've been able to do.
What's your project?
Right, so it's mostly chicken, because let's face it. That's most dinners all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Now, because Cody and I, my partner, we don't have children. When you're in a relationship without kids, even not in a pandemic, most of your conversation is figuring out what's for dinner. That's what a relationship is. Two people committing to a life of figuring out what the hell is for dinner every night. You know it's chicken, but with what sauce?
And one of you a better cook than the other?
I think I am. That says a lot about him.
Well, this could be controversial.
My first issue is recipe websites. Now, this is going to be a very specific joke for people that look up recipes online.
I'm with you, brother. Go ahead.
But what's with the 5,000-word essay before they get to the ingredients?
Oh, my God, I hear you.
The people in this office are clapping through the windows.
The
standing in the middle of Woolies. I'm like, what is the recipe for this lasagna? You click on the website and there's some woman, my not. Migrated to Australia in 1915. Shut up!
How many? That's fantastic.
My nonna and my dad migrated to Australia. You don't see me banging on about it every time I tweet.
It's a good point you make. And has this come up on your podcast? I want to talk about your podcast quickly.
We don't have
a lot of time at the moment. I'm sorry, mate, but we've got your new podcast out, Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. This sounds, again, for people in lockdown or anywhere, these things are like gold.
Well, they are because we can exercise and we've got to listen to a good podcast.
So what do you got? What is it? Talk us through your concept.
So I grew up in Greensboro, a suburb in Melbourne, and the Diamond Valley Leader was our local paper, right?
Okay.
And for years and years and years, every Wednesday was the thumbs up, thumbs down letter section.
And what would be a typical letter? What would be the type that would go to the Diamond Valley Leader?
So my favourite one for this week is someone that wrote in that said her 70-year-old mother with arthritis couldn't get the suitcase out of the taxi and the taxi driver yelled out, it's not that heavy.
So that's a thumbs down.
That's a thumbs down. We can all agree. Was there a good thumbs up?
No. So what I've done is...
It's all a bit negative over in Diamond Valley.
You've got some pretty good guests coming up too. I can see you got Edo and Edmonds and Nazim, Sir Pakwala and Jerry Nicky, Tom Ballard, Nicky Britton. Hey, we know all those people and they're very, very, they're first class. So you've got, they must love you. So well done.
Thank you. We just sit down and we just read the letters out and go to town on them. And it's really fun.
I love the concept.
Can't wait. I might do the same thing on my podcast with the Frankston Standard. It's a good idea. Thanks, Nath. Hey, mate, thanks for swinging by. We love catching up with you too. I can't wait till this is all over so we can get you in the studio and rough you up over a couple of
times. We can give you a big hug.
See you, mate.
Can't wait.
Nath Valvo, Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got our Week in Review coming up really soon on Kennedy Malloy. Earlier in the show, we had the great Alan Border on our show as well. And if you missed any of his chat, you can get the podcast. You can catch up at kennedymalloy.com.au.
We were talking, of course, about the passing of cricket great Dean Jones. Sad day in Victoria. Sad day for all sports lovers. Sad day for Australian sport. He was unique. He was a one-off. We all enjoyed his vibrant performances.
It was a big shock to everyone.
He was a big character, and it's a great loss. So we spoke to AB, who was very emotional, I have to say, and we asked him many things, and you can get to the bottom of that whole interview, but in particular, the courage and the bravery it took for his double century in Chennai in the famous tied test, when he did it, and without exaggeration, lucky to be here today such an enormous effort. Here's how AB remembers it. He'll be best remembered, I think, in the test arena for the famous tied test in Chennai, where he made a double hundred, which is still people talk about that as one of the greatest things ever achieved physically from a man. I put it to you, he wouldn't be allowed to do that today. People are so worried about heat and stroke. He would have probably been allowed to retake the field. He was that gone.
Yeah, look, he was in bad way, and I suppose at the time he didn't know. Well, I didn't know a lot about dehydration.
No one did, mate.
And I was batting with him at the time, and look, he could have been 170 retired hurt, but through my intervention, he made 210, and we nearly lost him then. I basically just went down. He was batting so well, and I was just trying to think of a way to keep him out there, because he'd come up to me and said, "Oh, man, I'm just gone. I've got to go." You know, he was so distressed, and I was thinking, "Well, how am I going to keep him out here?" I wasn't worried about dehydration. I was trying to keep him out there. He's batting so well, and I knew I could push his buttons. Greg Ritchie was in next year, and I said, "Well, you're all right, mate. You can go off. We'll get someone tough out here. Get a Queenslander." And I can't tell you what he told me to do.
Well, he was a proud Victorian, wasn't he? He was a very proud Victorian, and we thank you very much too. We know that this is really hard.
Yeah, I was a mess last night, but hopefully better today.
Appreciate your time this afternoon, AB.
Not a problem.
Alan Border there earlier on the show. Well done. Well said.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Friday, and it's a day where you put the spotlight on Gympie's favourite son, Matt Bauer.
There's a statue of him in Gympie running from the cops. I'm guessing I know Gympie.
On a
playing
horse.
Pots and pans.
Playing pots and pans. This is where we get to kick back, put the feet up, and listen to the stylings of Matty Bauer.
Very excellent stylings. People get to, you know, this is really clever stuff. You just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
And I'm in it. That's a bonus.
All right. Here's our Week in Review.
We kicked off the week with some pressing first world problems.
Every time I turn on Netflix, my sensor light goes off. If I pause it, the sensor light goes out.
My first world problem is my teppanyaki grill didn't work on Saturday night. I put it in the fry pan, which is an untraditional manner in which to cook the Japanese feast. Yeah.
Sorry, Jane, got to interrupt. Shannon's got an interesting thing to add.
I've got a reading lamp in my room. It does not work at all.
Yeah.
When I put Netflix on, the beginning's on. What's going on there?
Well, what are they going to learn off of you, Shannon?
Careful.
Australia's space program finally got off the ground in South Australia, and our resident astrophysicist and former bachelor Matt Agnew joined us.
Very exciting. It's obviously starting small. It was only a 3.4 metre rocket.
Baby steps.
If you had a space monkey, would you allow it into...
I mean, not this particular rocket.
I prefer talking to you when you're dating chick with fake cans.
I'm starting to work out why you're single, Matt.
Oh, thanks, guys.
No, I'm in nerd girl.
That's
love
her
your
throwing your hat in the ring.
No, it's not.
We checked in with Neroli Meadows in Dubai with news of Aussie Richie Porte's podium finish in the Tour de France.
Wife Gemma gave birth to his baby girl Eloise a couple of weeks ago, and he basically said, "Look, to miss the birth, I feel like this goes a little bit of the way to make it worthwhile."
Can I say, I would rather be riding uphill on a bike in the French Alps.
And Mick was keen for more information on Eddie McGuire's fact-finding mission to the Pink Flamingo on the Gold Coast.
He says it's for research.
Is there a stripper pole involved at the Pink Flamingo? What are we talking about?
No.
Don't
wellness.
Pretend like you haven't done your own research.
Tom Gleisner joined us ahead of the 200th episode of Have You Been Paying Attention?
Honoured to reach 200 episodes on Channel 10. I've done a bit of research. I think it's just us, neighbours and aerobics all-style. I think
Tuesday was World Rhino Day, and we chatted with friend of the show, Ray Dearlove, about the plight of the rhinos.
A lot of the poaching is done. Sure, there's international crime syndicates involved, but the fellow who's right at the coalface is a chap who probably doesn't have any money, he doesn't have any social security.
That's
hungry.
Right.
The problem is the system.
Because I think spreading awareness, as both of you do and are passionate about it, is part of the battle of getting this thing done and resolved.
Jane shared her favourite emoji.
It currently is the desert island with the palm tree and the beach because it's so far away from anyone's life. Going, you know, on a holiday? That's what I love at the moment. Am I still on air? Testing.
A list from 1993's Hit Mag was brought to our attention on Twitter.
It's a list of the hottest guys on the planet. Number one was Jeremy Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Number two was Dieter Brummer. Okay, so you with me?
Yeah, yeah.
Promising newcomers. Oh, yeah. The Late Show's Santo Chilaro, Rob Sitch, and Mick Molloy.
Are we going out with Robert?
Yeah,
stage?
When did you start?
I don't remember.
Oh. When you see him rocket into the top 30, you went...
And caller Kane was quick to the phone with his 90s crush.
Jane Kennedy.
Jane Kennedy. Tell you what, you would have been half a chance too.
Kane, what was it about me that
you... Well, I was a huge fan of The Late Show at the time.
Yes, but anyway, getting back to me.
And Dave O'Neill piped in.
Well, apart from you, Jane.
Really?
Yeah, 90s Late Show. I was big on Shannon Doherty, 90210. But, you know, I'd probably end up with a nerd girl.
You are like a nerdy Shannon Doherty.
I don't mind that.
And less work than Tori Spelling.
They had a reunion recently. Did you watch the show? It was the reunion.
Which was ruined by Alex Perry's death.
Luke Perry. Sunglasses.
Once again, I'm first with the news. Luke Perry.
There were issues at home for Merrick Watts.
Basically, what's happened is my wife, Georgie, through COVID, got really quite fit, which I should be happy for, but I'm not, because that's kind of my thing. And the last few years, people have been saying, gee, Miz, you look great. And now people are starting to say that to Georgie. I can't be happy for her.
Thursday, just prior to showtime, and with Jane still broadcasting from home during Victoria's lockdown.
We're just preparing here, and all of a sudden, next door neighbour started his mower.
Right.
So I had to go and tell him.
You're like a Karen from Brighton stop.
I was Karen from Brighton, and to say, excuse me, look, I'm trying to do a national radio show here. He goes, for you, Jane, I will
do. You know what? This is how it starts. Starts off asking for a favour. This time next week, keys in a bowl.
Gold medalist Michael Klim joined us to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Sydney Olympics and the impact on athletes with the delay of the Tokyo Games.
Look, I think it's difficult in the sense that, you know, we measure our preparation to a day, to an hour. The only comfort in this situation is that everyone's in the same boat.
You're a successful businessman. Milk and Coke, the men's skin range. Has the ship sailed for me?
Look, Mick, I can't reverse time, but I can hopefully stop it.
But it was our resident doctor, Chris Brown, that raised the most eyebrows this week and was summoned to appear on the show to explain a certain post on the socials.
How are you?
So we were having a little chat about you yesterday. Afternoon. In fact, we might have recorded it. This is what Dave had to say about you.
Dr. Chris Brown with his shirt off, posing with an animal or something, rather.
Why did he have his shirt off?
Is that the shirt off?
Was it homoerotic?
I'm saying as a straight man, I thought, you know, he's got a good rig.
I mean, it's not exactly the most hygienic sort of sensible practice to be posing shirtless with animals.
So what's going on?
Well, I'd like to ask Dave, where what publication has he seen?
You're on Instagram. You're posing with penguins.
That was in South Africa. I left that little encounter with a very questionable rash.
Blame it on the penguins.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And it's all thanks to Neds. You can find the perfect match to your form preferences easily with the Neds filter form at neds.com.au.
Bang, that's going to be my weekend. Get the app out, get the telly out.
It's a huge week, isn't it?
Well, I'll be going to the races this week in lieu of football, no cricket, and the extension of my right arm, my phone. with the Neds app attached will be navigating me through some murky waters and delivering me to the promised land of big winnings.
That's true. With the Neds filter form, go to neds.com.au. Download the app. I've done it. I've already made a bet on my Neds app.
Have you?
Yes.
How'd you go?
Caulfield, coming up tomorrow, the races.
Oh, so, here we go.
Well, what I did is I just put in, this is what, it's so easy. I didn't need to look at a form guide or anything. Mm. I just had preferences like wins at distance, wins last start, track conditions, and a horse popped up for me. And that's what I put my money on.
Are you prepared to name that horse?
Well, I am.
Is it a Shetland? See, Neds. See, Neds did all that for you.
I agree. It's done and all I would the normally lifting. Not have known what to do.
It's left you half a lap out in front of the others. They're still fumbling around with their form guides, trying to find a pen.
I'll let you know how I go on Monday.
Well, I cannot wait. And I like to punch in the trainers' names, the jockeys' names.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who it would have come in handy for. Mm. Sandy Roberts. He could have got the right name on Derby Day or Cox Plate Day, I think, when he got the wrong woman presenting the cup.
Miss Australia with us in Leanne Cock and Leanne Dick, I should say. And Leanne, it's going to be very interesting.
Sandy.
Oh, my God. That's legendary, isn't it?
Don't say it. All right.
Hey. Everybody, go to neds.com.au. Seriously, download it. Just takes a minute to it and it cuts out all the drama.
Makes it easy. They head you in the right direction. They lead you to the water. It's up to you to drink. Go on, do something. Thanks, IT nerds.
All right. Gamble responsibly. If you do need help, you can call the National Problem Gambling Helpline on 1800 858 858 or head to gamblinghelpline.org.au.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
All right, we're just about done for another week of Kennedy Malloy. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
A great weekend.
Yes.
Everybody, go out
Stay safe. Mm. Mask up where you have to.
There could be more news for Victorians on Sunday, is it?
Oh,
or Monday?
That would be good.
Might be allowed to run around my front garden in my underpants.
That'd
be a rare privilege.
I might be able to go 10 kilometres instead of 5 kilometres outside my zone.
Hey, can I just that's right. Can I just say a reminder to register for the Cathy Freeman Foundation Strive
Great
for
idea.
Education. It's a 115K virtual challenge. It's to raise awareness of the work the Cathy Freeman Foundation does.
Yep.
They're a great bunch and, this is absolutely.
Well, people of all
troops.
Abilities can do it, Mick. Even you'll be able to do it.
I could do it. You?
Well, I reckon I could walk it and that's all right.
I'll piggyback you.
Well, you? Thank you. That's lovely.
And what a time to do it. The 20th anniversary of Cathy's Golden Run. Come on, people. Look into your hearts. Get involved.
And if you haven't seen that documentary on Cathy, go to iView. You'll be able to watch it on that. It was really amazing. Yep. Beautiful.
All right.
Next week on the show, we've got John Williamson, which I'm very excited about as well. We've got Hamish Blake. Nerilee Meadows is joining us. And Todd Sampson, as we said, hopefully he won't swear.
He will.
Denise Scott. Jim Jefferies. I'm talking to John Bon Jovi. Yeah, that's right.
Why are you talking to John Bon Jovi?
Well, why would you talk to John Bon Jovi?
Well, I wouldn't, but it's Dave's thing.
That's mine.
What a crime.
You know what? I'll tell you what it is. His son does have a range of rosé out, so maybe that's the link. And
so
I may
this
ask him about
music
that.
At all, is it?
Yes, it is, because they've got a new album out, but it may come up in our conversation.
A new album and a new rosé. All right.
Clink, clink.
Yeah.
Happy weekend, everybody.
Yeah, enjoy your weekend. If you've missed any of our shows this week, why don't you get the podcast? You can catch up at kennedymalloy.com.au. Talk to Monday.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy. Find your perfect match to your form preferences easily with Neds Filter Form. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.